Please open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I'm going to read in sections this morning. I'm going to read the first five verses. Then I'm going to drop down to verse 16. And I'm going to read to verse 21. This is how the Word of God does read. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eliath and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he saw the Lord, God prospered him. Let's jump down to verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with 80 priest of the Lord, valiant man. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will not have no honor from the Lord of God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, it was leprous on his forehead. And they ordered him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out before, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. This morning, I want us to reflect on the topic, P is for pride. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, into thy holy hands, and I come to commit this time of teaching. May thou glorify thy holy name. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and I give thanks. Amen. The story is told of a five-year-old kid. After 2 weeks in pre-K, he came home to his grandmother with a big smile on his face and a big compliment. He told his grandmother that he was the smartest kid in the class. And with a deep sense of pride, the grandmother asked him if that was what his teacher said. The young lad said, "No, ma'am, I had to tell her I was the smartest." What that young lad was struggling with is what all of us are struggling with, albeit in different degrees, and it is called pride. Unlike any other sin, pride is the first among equals, the chief of all sins. It is an equal opportunity sin. It can catch you when you're on top of the world. It can also catch you when you are in the gutter. Even before our physical world was created, pride had its fingerprints in the heavenly realms, in the fall of Satan. As Isaiah the prophet will reveal to us in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. "How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to earth. You who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" Satan fell because of pride. The apologist C.S. Lewis wrote of this destructive power of pride when he said, "It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the war began." In his autobiography, Benjamin Franklin also offered an incisive diagnosis of pride when he said, "There's perhaps no one of a natural passion so hard as pride. Beat it down, mortify it as much as one pleases, it is still alive. Even if I could conceive that I've completely overcome it, I would probably be proud of my humility." Obviously, God is concerned about the sin called pride. That is why throughout Scripture, we are constantly warned of the catastrophic impact of pride. But also, we are given examples of great biblical figures that have succumbed to the bait of pride. And one of those biblical figures is who we are going to look at this morning. And he's a king that is called Uzziah. This is what brings us to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now, let me set this in context before we go forth. The once unified nation of Israel that reached its zenith of power during the reign of David and Solomon are divided into two kingdoms. 10 tribes aligned together to form the northern kingdom called Israel, while the remaining two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, formed the southern kingdom named Judah. Now, the first one was named Israel, and the second one was named Judah. This division, though, came to the foolish decisions by one of the king, Rehoboam, but in actuality was the visitation of God's judgment on the sin of Solomon. And we see that as the northern kingdom began, most of the kings that reigned in the northern kingdom were evil kings. They did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But to the south, majority of the kings did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And one of those kings that was credited for doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord was a king called Amaziah. Amaziah was the father of Uzziah. And we can see his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Now, after his assassination, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 27, we're told, beginning at chapter 26, verse 1, that the people of Judah went forth and took Uzziah, his son, to be king. And he was 16 years old when he ascended the throne. But despite his youthfulness, Uzziah did what was right according to the scripture in the eyes of the Lord, like his father Amaziah did. And we can find the reason for his spiritual depth and spiritual pedigree in verse 5. Because of a man or a godly mentor that was named Zechariah. Verse 5 will tell us, that will inform us that he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Zechariah was a godly mentor to Uzziah the king. Now, I need to pause to make this observation. You know, nothing is more important for a young kid or a young person than a godly mentor. And such godly mentorship, I believe, must start in the home with the fathers. Psychologist Eric Erickson, in his theory of developmental stages, insisted that identity formation while beginning in childhood gains preeminence during adolescence. Faced with physical growth, sexual maturity, and impending career choices, adolescents must accomplish the task of integrating their experiences and characteristics into a stable identity. And what age are those? This is between the ages of 11 to around 18 years old. That is when those identity formation began. But sadly, this is where we find an absence of godly mentorship, especially as it relates to the fathers. In the July 1998 edition of USA Today magazine, and there was an article that was titled, "What Can Be Done About Absentee Fathers?" Dr. Ron Kinger wrote these words. He said, "The United States is the world leader in families without fathers, with just 27% of American kids living with their biological mother and father. When fathers are absent from the home, adolescent and teenage boys are 2 to 4 times more likely to be arrested for juvenile offenses." And again, you see the story of Uzziah, how godly mentorship was able to make him make wise choices. And I truly believe the same is needed today. The same is needed in our culture. We need more fathers to stand to the plate, to be mentors to their young children, to be mentors to those teenagers, to be able to teach them the truth. More importantly, that they can pass on to them the legacy of faith. Because the choices these young people make ultimately is going to impact their future. And we as parents must be able to invest that time. And I challenge you this morning, if you are a father, being a father is more than just making babies. You have to step to the plate and mentor your son, your daughter. You have to step to the plate and be the father, because the way you nurture the next generation will ultimately determine what they're going to be in the future, but also what the generations after them are going to incur. That is why it is important that we turn around the tide and begin to stay in the home, fathers, to mentor the young generation so that the legacy of faith can be passed on to the next generation. So here, Uzziah was blessed to have a godly mentor, and the godly mentor was Zacharias. And again, we're told here that as long as Uzziah the king sought the Lord, God prospered him. And I think it's obvious here that God never fails to bless obedience. You know, when we honor God with our lives, God honors us with his divine grace and blessing. When we walk with God, God walks with us. You know, but unfortunately, many of us often choose the path of disobedience. And instead of prosperity, we suffer calamities and pain. And the reason is often because we're living in disobedience to the word of God. That is why it's important to understand that God blesses obedience. Now, I need to put a caveat here. It is very important that we be careful, though, that we don't base our entire theology on this single verse. Yes, God never fails to bless obedience. But at times, some people might devote their life to God, and they might not experience physical or worldly prosperity as Uzziah did. On the contrary, they might be regarded as the scum of the earth. And we find this to be true in the case of some of the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah was an example of a prophet who obeyed God but suffered intense persecution. Then we go to the New Testament. We see our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect in obedience, and yet he was hanged on a cross. We look at the story of the apostles. Except for John the Beloved, most of them, we believe, according to church history, were martyred for their faith. But yet they walk with God. And I need to say this. This is the problem we have with prosperity gospel. In order to justify their prosperity claim, they exclude passages of scripture that talks about people who obey God and they didn't enjoy physical prosperity. And it's important for us to understand this, that yes, God blesses obedience. But at times, God blesses obedience not only in this life, but also in the life to come. That you can perfectly obey God in this life and still go through persecution and still go through adversity.
but may it be known that in the world to come, in the glory that will be revealed, your reward will outsurpass anything in this world you may lose. And that is the word of truth. That is what God reminds us. And so we see here Uzziah was successful. And we can see, beginning at verse 6 of chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, beginning at verse 6, we can see here all of his exploits. You know, he was successful in waging war. Verse 6 reminds us that he went against the Philistines. He defeated the Philistines. God gave him victory. The Amorites were able to begin to pay tribute to him. In essence, Judah became a regional superpower. Not like any, it's like a recapitulation of the time of Solomon, when Solomon was powerful, and David. And this also we see in the story of Uzziah, that Uzziah was helped by God, according to verse 8, that he became very strong because God helped him. And we're told that not only did the Uzziah became a regional power, Uzziah went on a building, you know, exploration, building towers in Jerusalem, verse 9. He built towers in the wilderness. He had livestock on the lowland and in the plain. He had vine dressers in the hill country, fertile land, and all these things Uzziah enjoyed. Moreover, Uzziah had a ready-made army ready for battle. That is what we're told in verse 11. Also, he had an elite group of army that was numbering around 307,000 men that were ready for battle. So Uzziah here was successful. And we're told in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26 that in Jerusalem he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the tower on the corner for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. So this was the highest level of technology in that time. And Uzziah was able to achieve all this. And verse 16 tells us here that his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped. That was verse 15. But I wish the story of Uzziah could have ended in verse 15. I wish the story of David could have ended in 2 Samuel chapter 10. Because when we come to 2 Samuel chapter 11, we come to the story of Bathsheba and Uriah. The picture changes. And here in this set of verses, because after verse 15, in the success that Uzziah had, the picture now takes a different turn. And I need to pause to make this observation here. While it is important that we start strong, how we finish is what truly matters. Can I repeat that? While it is important that we start strong, how we finish is what is important. We're going to see in the story of Uzziah. He started strong, but did he finish strong? You know, Adam and Eve started strong, but they ended poorly. Samson started strong, but he ended poorly. Saul started strong, he ended poorly. Solomon started poor, he ended poor. He started strong, he ended poorly. And this is how we understand the race that we're in. And may I remind you this morning, please, we must understand the importance of finishing strong. Oh, yes, good to start strong, but you must finish well because it is a race. And for Uzziah, if the story had ended in verse 15, Uzziah will have finished strong. But now everything turns around in verse 16. Because we read here in verse 16, but when he became strong, in other words, when he had become successful, things began to change. Pride is a vice that attacks us, not only at our weakest point, but our strongest point. again the success of Uzziah. Perhaps you got people around Uzziah telling him how great he was. You got people around Uzziah trying to tell him, listen, you are mighty and strong. People are paying homage to him. People are kind of worshiping the places that he went to. He thought he was bigger than life. He thought he was Mr. Big Stuff because the success had gone into his head. And this is the caution I need to throw out there to you this morning. Success, while we all crave after success, success at times is a slippery slope. Because in our success at times, it is easy for us to be so consumed with the success or thinking that we are the one that achieved the success in of ourselves and exclude God or forget about God's mercy, God's grace. Uzziah here had forgotten something, that it was God who made him prosper. It was God that gave him the help. It was God that was the wind beneath his wings, that he could fly because God was lifting him up. Now that he was strong, he forgot about God. He became prideful. And this is how pride comes in. Pride comes in when success comes in and we feel that we are better than others. At times we talk down our people. At times we look down our people. At times we feel that they are not worth our time. That's pride. And Uzziah here had become so prideful because he had become strong. And what was the manifestation of his pride? I want you to follow along with me here, because we see here that he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. How was he unfaithful? We're told in verse 16 that he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, you might look at it and say, Pastor Waller, listen, what does that matter? He's just going there to burn incense. But you got to go back to the Mosaic law. You know, in the Mosaic law, God made a clear delineation. He made it very clear. It is only the Levites who can serve around the tabernacle. It is only the priest. The priest will have to come from the tribe of Aaron. Those are the ones that are allowed to offer the sacrifices on behalf of the people. They are the one allowed to burn incense. They are the one allowed into the holy place. The chief priest must come from the tribe, must come from the line of Aaron. He only can be. So God had made a clear delineation of exactly how this should be, how everything should operate. The king was just to be the executive body to administer the rule of law, to ensure that the country or the nation is run well. But when it came to spiritual things, religious spiritual things, intercession, seeking the face of God, God had given that to the priest. This is how it becomes important. Because by Uzziah coming in to the temple to want to offer burnt offering, he was trying to usurp the responsibility of the priest. He was trying to disregard, or he disregarded, the boundary that God set. I want you to pay attention to this, because I'm getting to something here. You know, one of the telltale signs that pride is entrenched in the heart of a person or a group of persons is when we have a total disregard for divine boundaries and we establish our own truth. Again, I want you to pay attention to that. Uzziah did not respect the boundary God set. He disregarded the boundary because he was too prideful. And this is always a telltale sign of pride. When we see the boundaries of God, when we see the truth of God that says this line must not be crossed, but we now decide that we don't care about that line, we are going to cross it anyway. This is the telltale sign of pride. And you don't have to look far, because that time, the time of Uzziah, is the time that we're living today. When men and women don't regard the boundaries of God any longer, where we believe that we don't have to obey what God says in his word, and we can just decide to make our own boundaries. We can neglect the boundary of God. We can say, this is my body. I can do whatever I want to do with my body in spite of what God has said in his word. Yes, we're living in a prideful world, a place where men and women no longer fear God. And that is always a telltale sign of pride. And we live in a place of cascading moral value and debauchery. And men and women have disregarded the boundaries of our holy God. And this was Uzziah's sin. This was his pride. I mean, I remind you, this is our home failures to as a culture. And I truly believe that it's time for us to understand that God will make boundaries, made it because he knows better than we do. And for each one of us, obeying the boundaries of God is where we find life. Disobedience is where we find death. No wonder we are living in a culture of death. So we read here that when Uzziah entered into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense, that Azariah, the priest, the chief priest, entered after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. You know what? We read in verse 18 that he opposed the king. Said to Uzziah, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. You know, I wish our pulpits were filled with Azariahs. I wish our pulpits were filled with men of God who will dare to stand and speak truth to power. Who will stand up and speak what is right to power. That they will not be afraid of who you are, but they will declare the word of God. I wish our pulpits were filled with men of God that has the gift and the calling of John the Baptist, that could stand and proclaim righteousness in a culture that is filled with immorality. Unfortunately, many of our culture, many of our churches, our pulpits are devoid of the Azariahs. They are devoid of the John the Baptist. What do we have on our pulpits? We have men who compromise the integrity of the word of God, will sell their soul to the devil for the fame of this world, will reject and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here we see in this man, in this chief priest, Azariah, that no matter how much fame Uzziah had, he spoke truth to power. And I truly believe as pastors, as those that God has given the calling to be his oracle, we must never be afraid to speak truth to power. We must never be afraid to call sin, sin, because in doing that, we've been faithful to our God who has called us to this office. And I tell myself, if I can't tell the truth, I need to step down from this pulpit, because the reason I've been called here is to be an oracle of the great God of heaven. And here we see Azariah come up and said to Uzziah, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, for the priests, the son of Aaron, were consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not honor God, you will not honor the Lord your God. He spoke truth to power. He was not afraid of the king. Just like John the Baptist was not afraid of the king. And I truly believe every true man of God that is called to the vocation of preaching must be bold enough to speak truth to power. And we're told here that Azariah, the chief priest, and all the men walked before Uzziah. But Uzziah here was filled with so much pride that Uzziah, we're told, Uzziah was enraged. He was totally enraged. By the way, before I go further, I need to make sure I notice this. I pinpoint this out for you. You know, failure to acquiesce to divine warning is always a setup for colossal failure. And I'm telling you this, failure to acquiesce to divine warning is always a setup for a colossal failure. You know, Uzziah here was warned by this priest, and he chose to disobey. But let me tell you something. It is your choice to disobey God, but you can never choose your consequences. And here, Uzziah will have received a consequence that will forever separate him from his own people and from the house of the Lord itself. So here we read that as Uzziah disregarded the warning of this priest and took a censer, verse 19, of burnt offering, and while he reached out his hand, leprosy started to break out on his forehead. Leprosy is a skin disease that caused disfiguration of the body. And in the Old Testament, it was a disease that was incurable. And usually people that become leper were estranged from their family. They went into a different camp, which called leprosy camp, because they can't associate with the community because their disease was contagious. And now, Uzziah, the king who was powerful, the king who was strong, has been afflicted with leprosy. And all through his face, his forehead, leprosy broke out. And when the priest and all of the other priests saw it, they let him out. They hurriedly let him out because he had become unclean. His pride had made him unclean because the consequences of his pride have led to his uncleanness. And here we're told in verse 21 that Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And this was the consequences of his pride. But you must say to me, Pastor Wally, what does this mean to me this morning? Well, let me tell you some few things this means to you. Number one, who you are is not because of yourself. It is not because of your ability or your ingenuity. It is because of God. Each one of us we are no better than the man on the gutter. We are no better than the woman sitting under the bridge, homeless, if not for God. The fact that you're here and that you can hear me and you're sitting and you're alive is because of the grace of our God. You might say, yes, Pastor Wally, I went to school. Yes, I achieved all these great things academically. I strive. It was my power to do it. But who gave you the life to do it? Who gave you the ingenuity? Who gave you the grace? Who gave you the power, the ability to make wealth? Jeremiah will remind us, let not the strong boast of his strength. Let not the mighty boast of his might. Let us the rich boast of his riches. You know, we can boast of nothing. What do you have, says the Apostle Paul, that you have not been given? And if you've been given, why are you prideful? This morning, the first lesson you need to learn is this. Who you are is because of God, not because of your own ability, nor your ingenuity. Number two, you know, as glaucoma to the eyes, so is pride to the soul. It blinds the view of true reality. Again, I need to repeat that. As glaucoma to the eyes, so is pride to the soul. It blinds our view of true reality. King Uzziah became blind to the reality of who he was because pride had taken over Pride put him on the pedestal. And he believed he was tall, he was strong, he was powerful. He could do anything he wants to do. But he has been blinded. And that is what pride does to you and I. Pride can blind you to truth. Pride can blind you to the reality of true life. That is why it's good for you to always get someone that you're accountable to. Someone that can check you. Someone that can remind you of who you used to be. Someone that can remind you that what you are today is not because. Someone that can remind you that it's God who is keeping you. Accountability. You need someone that could bring you back to reality. To let you understand that your gift and your ability, your fame, is not because you're strong. It's because God brought you to that level. And also to remind you that you're just a breath away from eternity. The final thing here that I believe we can take home this morning is this. No one is indispensable. No one is indispensable. When King Uzziah became so powerful that he thought he didn't need God, God responded by letting him know that Judah will function without him. He became a leper. He was isolated for the rest of his life. God can do without us. We cannot do without God. Again, listen to what I just said. God can do without us. God can do greater things without you on this earth. But we cannot do without God. That is why it's important to understand that no matter how powerful you are today, no matter how strong you are never indispensable. Every one of us, God can do and raise someone that will do better than you can ever do. This morning, P is for pride. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for the word of God. Pride is every man's struggle. All of us in different ways struggle with pride. Father, give us humility. Help us to understand that pride goes before the fall. Give us a humble heart that we can walk humbly with our God, because it's when we walk humbly with thee that thou elevate us and exalt us. I commit this morning's teaching into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.